Saints, and welcome to the Valley Decision. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on Spirit One Radio Network and American Liberty Radio, 89.1 FM in Buffalo, New York. The point of this program is to warn of the times that we're living in as the day of the Lord draws near. We find in Joel 3:14, it says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision." Well, I'm really looking forward to having this guest on, as I always do, but before we get into that, first I'm going to say a prayer to open this program up. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, I ask that what comes out on this program is what you want to come out and not what I want, and I want to thank you for our time with the world this week. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, amen and amen. So many people, when they wake up, wake up to the times that we are living in, they realize what's going on, and they have a great fear that comes about them. And they shouldn't be in that fear, they should be in a comfort zone. But they're supposed to be in the perfect peace of our Lord, or as the Hebrew word says, the shalom of God, the place where the Lord is in control. So tonight, I bring a brother in the faith and a man I consider a friend, David Ells. David, are you with me?
Yes, I am. God bless you, folks.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm always happy to have a man of great faith such as you on to help. David, as I told you briefly in an email, you know, I'm finding more and more that, you know, as we do an in-talk newsletter that warns people, and I have people listen to radio programs and things, and they email me and they say, well, you know, they're now waking up to the times that we're in, but, you know, they also have a great fear. You know, I was praying that you could give them some comforting words and help maybe with this.
Okay, sure. I'll tell you one thing about fear is it has power. A lot of people don't know that, but fear is faith in reverse. It's faith in the negative. It's faith in the curse, and whatever brings fear, either we're not handling that information correctly, or else we're just thinking on the wrong things. It's good to get woken up and understand that these things are coming upon the world, but then let me tell you what you're supposed to do. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, the verse just before that, I'm going to go back and mention that too. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." You know, peace comes when you meditate on the wonderful things that God has done and what He's prepared for you. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 16, he said, "I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil." You know, we need to study the Word of God more than we study all the things that are going on in the world around us. It's kind of like walking by sight when right. You look at the world around you instead of walking by faith in what God promised. And what it does is it just fills your heart with anxiety and fear and wonder about whether God is going to be able to supply your needs and provide for you and protect you and do all those things that actually in His Word He gives abundant promises to cover these things. You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgivings. The peace of God shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So we need to put the Word of God in our heart more than anything else in this world. To be simple unto that which is evil, wise unto that which is good. And I'll tell you what, you'll have faith, you'll be bold, you won't be anxious. You know, one time the Lord pointed out to me that the way to be able to recognize all evil when you see it is to put the good in your heart. You know, the feds, they don't study bogus bills because they say there is too many out there for them to be able to remember and recognize them. What they do is they study the real bill, and then they're able to recognize all of the lies and all of the fakes.
Amen.
And the truth is, that's what we need to put in our heart. You know, the Word of God has power to manifest Jesus Christ in you. He is the Word of God. He said, "My words are spirit, and they are life." And when we put his word in us, he lives in us through the word of God.
Yes,
and I'll tell you one thing, Jesus can handle everything that's coming down the road. We might can't handle it, but he can handle it. And there's only one thing we can do about that, and that is put him in our heart through the word of God. So many people have just a very limited idea of what it is to have Christ in their heart. You know, I mean, you don't do that by just stepping over a line and accepting Jesus as your Savior. You continue to put the Word of God in your heart. The more the Word lives in you, the more Jesus lives in you, because the Bible says he's the Word.
Yes, amen.
And we've got a Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, you know, that our Passover has already been sacrificed, even Christ.
Right.
And but the only thing about the Passover lamb is the sacrifice wasn't enough to give them the Passover. They had to eat the lamb. And they had to eat all of the lamb. And,
right,
of course, the lamb is the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
And if we put the Word of God in our heart, we will have a Passover. And he warns us also in 1 Corinthians 5, where he talks about our Passover sin sacrifice, to partake of the unleavened bread. And the unleavened bread, of course, is the pure Word of God. Not the additions that men have made, and not all the pollutions of the paranoia that people feed upon all day, and not all the gossip that they hear through the internet all day, you know. For goodness sake, you know, spend time in the Word of God. Ask God to put it in your heart. It is a gift that God gives to draw you into his Word. I remember when I knew nothing about God, nothing about God. A friend challenged me to just to read the Word, and he showed me about how that the prophecies all came true, and I was just curious. Wasn't even saved. Didn't care about God. I was just curious. And I picked up that Word, and it was like a mantle fell down over me to just study the Word of God. And I did it day and night, day and night. It was my joy to study the Word of God. God put that in me. It was a gift. And a few times after that, it would start to lift, and I realized what a powerful, precious gift this was. And I asked the Lord to bring it back, and he brought it back. It's a gift. Ask him for it. Ask him to draw you into the Word of God, because you'll be full of faith. Faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the Word, you see.
Yes, amen.
And you'll be full of faith if you do that. I did. I mean, I was so full of faith, I was seeing signs and wonders and miracles as a baby Christian. Knew nothing about nothing. But I was seeing all these wonderful signs and wonders. I was just full of faith. And everybody around me, the religious people that I was bumping into, who had been in Christ for 40, 50 years, were awed at the faith that I had. But the thing was, I was feeding on the Word, feeding on the Word, feeding on the Word. And that's where it comes from, folks. If you don't want to be anxious or troubled about the things that are coming, think on the things that he commands you to think on, right? And
right.
Be anxious for nothing. Believe those promises. But you know, God's got such an awesome plan. His plan is all totally for his people. He works all things together for our good. If we're anxious, it's because we don't believe the gospel. If we're fearful, it's because we're not believing the good news that the Lord gave us. You know, in the days when God was trying to bring his people out of Egypt, well, the judgments that fell upon Egypt were not to destroy God's people. The judgments that fell upon Egypt were to deliver God's people from Egypt.
Right.
And we know what Egypt represents. It represents the world. God wants to bring his people out of the world to serve him and to be with him. And the judgments that are about to come upon this world, yes, they're coming. People are studying them, and in many cases they're fearful of the great things that are coming. And they can look and see all the conspiracies that are going on out there, and they feed on that. They don't feed on the power of God.
Right.
But that's not being wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. You study the evil. It's kind of like studying a sickness. You look at the sickness, you get sicker.
Right.
You look at the promise, you get healed. You know, kind of like the serpent on the pole in the wilderness that God told Moses to raise up when the serpent bites were killing the people. You know, I mean, he told them to get their eyes on that serpent on the pole, and if they got their eyes on that serpent on the pole, they would be healed. And sure enough, they were. But as long as they looked at their snake bites, they were dying. And the snake bite, of course, represents the curses that are upon this world, that Satan has brought upon this world. For a very good reason, by the way, you know, because of our sins and rebellion. But faith is imputed Faith imputes righteousness to us. The Bible says, let God be true, every man a liar, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and might be accounted righteous when you come into judgment. That's what we need. When we're coming into these days of judgment, if you want God to impute righteousness to you, then let him be true and every man a liar, including your old flesh, every man a liar. What God says is true. And when he says he will supply your every need according to his riches and glory, he means just that. However, you can very well block him from meeting those needs. Because don't you know that we're the ones that bind on earth and loose on earth, you see?
Right.
And we do it by our words. He said, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. If you feed on the fearful things that are coming upon the world as though you're still under the curse of this world, well, then you're loosing the devil to torment you. You know, fear hath torment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love, the Bible says. So, go ahead, brother.
I wrote... Something hit me like a rock here, and I really need to bring this forward and I wish you would address this. I have a dear friend that I've known for years. She's a what you call a blood Jew, but Messianic. And you know, I've learned a lot of things off and on from her during the years. You know, just you know about you know, culture and different things. And she's a wonderful woman, and she does you know Messianic praise and worship. And I saw her recently. She came over to the mission to talk to me about some things. And as she was leaving, she said, she was telling me she was going to college, and she's, her parting words was that she was studying under a Jewish rabbi to study the Kabbalah. You heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I was shocked. I was shocked about it. And I said, well, why would you do that? And she says, well, for years people have told me that it was, you know, always said it was evil, but I'm going to study it and find it so I can tell everybody why it's evil. And I didn't get a good feeling on that. And I'm praying that she's listening tonight, because I just don't think that's what she should be doing. Because when you use that comparison about the money, that you study the good things, and that'll when you see the bad, you'll automatically see what's wrong. So this woman, should she be off studying the Kabbalah? David?
No, definitely not. I've personally had experience of running into people who read and studied things in order to have understanding of evil and been demon-possessed because they read these things. The demons entered in them because they read these things. And, you know, we just need to repent and feed on the unleavened bread of the Word of God. You know, the Bible said when they were coming out of Egypt that if he found leaven in their houses, during those 7 days, the last 7 days when they were leaving Egypt, folks, that represents the days that we're coming to, the last 7 days, right?
Right, amen.
And if he found leaven in their houses, they were cut off from Israel.
Yes.
That's pretty serious, folks. God only wants the true word of God in you. You know why? Because God's only interested in harvesting the fruit of Jesus Christ in this earth. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Do you understand? The seed of the Word of God, the manna that came out of heaven, that enters our heart and brings forth the fruit of Christ. When the Lord comes, that's what he wants. He doesn't want all that other stuff. That's leaven, you see. He wants Christ manifested in us. And you don't see Jesus studying all that evil, you know?
Right, amen.
You didn't see him teaching his disciples that. He taught them to share the good news. In fact, he said that the good news, he said to Paul, that the good news is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. He didn't say the bad news was the power of God.
Right.
He said the good news was the power of God unto salvation. And you know what salvation is? Some of you folks that have studied the Greek there, it's a soteria. It means all of your needs supplied like a little baby. Had a Greek man tell me that, because we asked him that. You know, what does it mean to you today? What's that word, soteria, salvation? He said, all my needs supplied, like a little baby.
Wow.
And you know, salvation is so big. It not just covers your soul. It covers your body, your circumstances. It covers all of that. And the Lord has saved us in everything that you can think about being saved in, except if we don't agree with the Word of God, we're not going to receive it. If we speak contrary, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. If you speak contrary to that, you're not accounted as righteous. And the high priest of your confession, who is Jesus Christ, has nothing to offer before the Father. If you don't bring the good confession in the sight of many witnesses, as Paul spoke, if you don't confess him before men, which means to speak the same as.
Right.
Now, how are you going to speak the same as if you're feeding on all that other stuff out there? You know, if you got to speak in agreement with the Word of God concerning you, concerning who you are in this world, concerning your situation, concerning the curse around you, you know, concerning God's salvation. You've got to agree with that. When you agree with that, you get God's salvation. Because then Jesus said he confesses you before the Father and before the holy angels who administer that salvation. According to Hebrews chapter 2, they're ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation.
Amen.
So we want God on our side in everything that's coming, don't we?
Yes.
We want his provision, his deliverance, his protection, all these things the Word of God promises. But when you're fearful and you're anxious, it's because you're not believing the gospel. And the good news is the power of God to save the one that believes it. So the most important thing we can do is put our faith in these promises of God and not dishonor him as though he told us a lie. Anxiety is just you not believing God's truth. That's all. You're believing the devil. You're believing the curse. You know, the Bible says he became cursed for us. God took all of the curse of Deuteronomy 28 and he put it upon Jesus. Go study that, folks. If you haven't studied something good, study Galatians 3 and 13 and Deuteronomy 28, because all that curse that was pronounced upon mankind because they went astray of God's word, all of that curse was put upon Jesus Christ. It's not ours anymore. However, there's only one way that is actually going to be manifested. You know, the Lord made reconciliation at the cross. It's the word katalesso, and it means an exchange. God took your curse, he took your sickness, he took your sin, and he put it all upon Jesus, and he gave you the gift of Jesus. And now we're now the righteousness of God in Christ. We're new creations, the Bible says. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Those are words of faith, I understand that. Those are not words of sight. Sight is what you see when you use your natural eyes, you know.
Right.
But when you use your spiritual eyes, your born-again eyes, you see that you're not under the curse. That God put that upon Jesus. He made an exchange at the cross. And now you are blessed with Abraham's blessings, Galatians 3 and 13. And when last time I read in Genesis, Abraham was blessed in all things.
Yeah, amen. It's still the same.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Just a couple of comments. You know, one of the biggest things that I see, David, even people that, you know, righteously go to church every week and everything, you know, and proclaim themselves holy or Christians or whatever, you know, people just aren't eating the Word of God, you know. They're just not doing it. We do, you know, at our place, but, you know, most people just don't want to do all that studying. They don't want to do all that reading. And, you know, I'm just so fearful for them, you know. My heart just breaks for them because, you know, you can see it in their lives. Like when a trouble comes, you know, they don't have enough faith to get through that trouble, knowing that the Lord's in control of it and to quit worrying about it. And so people, instead of eating the Word of God, are eating, you know, tons and tons of anxiety pills and all kinds of manner of
Christian
things.
Junk food.
Yeah, and
over the pulpit.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm stressed out, so let's go pig out, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of people with that, and it's just terrible. There's a famine, all right, but the famine is the lack of a Word of God. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. It is true. I mean, God's people are starving to death. I'm seeing right now, I don't know if everybody's seeing this, but I'm seeing a revival around me. I'm seeing people that are just ecstatic about what they see in the Word of God. They're joyful, and they're full of hope and full of faith, you know, and it's because of studying the Word of God. But I also see those that are out there looking for some fellowship that's edifying, and they're not finding it. And that's all over the place. They're
right.
Searching and seeking, and of course, pastors in a lot of cases are condemning them for church hopping, but they're just starving to death. They're looking for some food, you know.
Right.
And I really feel for the people of God. I've got a website, by the way, that's just full, chock full of food, streaming audios. It's 4 gigabytes. It's a monster site, full of just teaching and things that'll put faith in your heart, you know, to prepare you for the times that are coming. And I know about the times that are coming, folks. I'm going to tell you why, because the Lord told me many years ago that he was bringing me through a wilderness so I could tell his people that he still supplies there. And I have seen God supply in the wilderness. I have seen the miracles that God is going to sustain his people with in the coming days. I have seen them. Since I was a year old in the Lord, I started seeing these awesome signs and wonders. And
yes,
God
yes.
has prepared everything for the time to come. He has prepared everything. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. It's not, salvation doesn't come from you, and you can't pick yourself up by your bootstraps. The Lord doesn't take kindly to salvation by your works.
Right.
And yet that's what a lot of Christians are doing. They think it's up to them to save themselves. But the Lord has already prepared everything for you. I mean, the Bible says, I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add 1 cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how that they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's awesome, folks. The Lord is telling us the most important thing we got to do down here is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything else.
Amen. Well, that's what, you know, of course that's what we preach. We say, you know, seek the Lord first and all things will be added unto you. First, I like to do this because sometimes people come in I like to give out your website on both the first and last half of the program. So please, David, give out your website and tell them a little bit about what's over there and tell them about that Pal Talk. That's a wonderful thing. I just snapped to that tonight.
Well, my website is americaslastdays.com. America's with an S, lastdays.com. And, Pal Talk is something that we were kind of driven to because we so many people were contacting us across the country that were just, like what I was saying a few minutes ago, they didn't have any place around them where they could fellowship around the Word of God and get filled with faith and be prepared for what's coming. So we took a Pal Talk, normally what would be a chat room, and we turned it into a Bible study. We're not using it as a chat room. And people join us, and they ask questions, and the folks that are gathered around me over here, they're all full of faith. You know, they're powerful people in the Lord, and on our website, there's places where you can call for ministers who will pray for you, and prayer teams, ministers who will counsel you out of the Bible, and prayer team who will also pray for your needs, and we're seeing signs and wonders. We always have seen signs and wonders. God is an awesome provider. We believe his word, you know. And people around us are people that are joining our Pal Talk meeting. They're just getting full of faith. They're stretching out their wings. They're exercising their faith. And they're seeing that that they don't have to be around anybody super spiritual. The word of the salvation is in their mouth. All they got to do is speak in agreement with the word of God and claim the promises of God. And they are beginning to see wonderful things, you know. So I'm real excited about what the Lord's doing there. And besides that, on our streaming audio Bible studies, there's just tons and tons of Bible studies. You can sit there for weeks and weeks and weeks and listen to them. And they're full of faith and wisdom about the times to come. The plan, knowing the plan of God, takes away an awful lot of fear. I tell you, God has got a wonderful plan. In 7 years, folks, God's going to restore his church.
Praise the Lord.
Beyond what the former reign was. I'm talking about beyond that. He's doing much greater things than that. He saved the best wine for last. And you know what the wine represents? The life of Christ, right?
Yeah, amen.
He saved the best wine for last. The most powerful people on the face of the earth are coming forth in these days. And there, you know, he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that he would come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. You see, if Jesus is manifested in you, what do you have to worry about? This is the whole point. And you can study that other swill all of your life, and you won't have any power in God. And you won't have Jesus walking in you. You see, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You got to come into agreement with the Word to have Jesus walking with you, you see?
Well, David, we better leave him with that, not to interrupt you, but I am interrupting you because we've got to go to break. But,
okay.
So praise the Lord, and thanks for being on with us, and we'll talk again in about 5 minutes.
All right.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Are you looking for a gift for that special someone? Well, look no further. Christian Crafts by Robin is the place to go. Christian Crafts by Robin has a great selection of handmade crosses, and they are absolutely beautiful. So go to our website, www.spiritone.us. That's www.spiritone.us, and click on the online store button now. Barrel One Christian Broadcasting Network is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week broadcasting ministry. We broadcast through the Internet to people and radio stations who rebroadcast our music, preaching, and teaching programs to people like you. If you like our broadcast, please ask your local FM, AM, or shortwave radio station to rebroadcast us. Simply call them and ask them why they are not a part of Spirit One Christian Broadcasting. Then send them to our website, www.spiritone.us. That's spirit1.us. Or ask them to call us today at 716-825-1164. That's 716-825-1164. Also, the next time you are in church, ask your pastor why he or she isn't broadcasting on our network, since they can reach so many people for so little money. Our rates are only $45 an hour. That is the lowest price in the industry. So tell your pastor to call us at 716-825-1164 today, before all the time slots are full. You're listening to Spirit One Christian Broadcasting on most of these stations. Please support our ministry and help us bring the message of Jesus to the world. Visit our website, www.spiritone.us. That's www.spiritone.us today.
A letter from the Roman Emperor Constantine to the churches at the time of the Nicene Council leaves little doubt that Constantine hated the Jews and anything associated with them. Excerpts from Constantine's letter are as follows. Quote, "When the question arose concerning the most holy day of Easter, it was decreed by common consent to be expedient that this festival should be celebrated on the same day by all in every place. And truly, in the first place, it seemed to everyone a most unworthy thing that we should follow the customs of the Jews in the celebration. It is fit, therefore, that rejecting the practice of this people, we should perpetuate to all future ages the celebration of this rite in a more legitimate order. It is necessary that this fault should be so amended that we may have nothing in common with the usage of these parricides and murderers of our Lord. It should be considered that any dissension in a business of such importance and in a religious institution of so great solemnity would be highly criminal. End quote. While it is true that the Jews, with their many uprisings, had challenged the patience of the Roman Empire, Constantine, in his efforts to substitute the pagan festival of Easter in place of Passover, failed to recognize that the original members of the Christian faith, which he claimed to subscribe to, were in fact Jews who kept the commandments of God and who accepted the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Decision, and we're on Spirit One Radio Network. We're speaking with Brother David Ells, and we're talking about people getting woke up to the Word, and then all of a sudden falling into, or getting woke up to what's going on in the world, and falling trapped into fear instead of, they should be rejoicing because the time of the Lord is drawing near, and not being in great fear. And I'll start the second half with this just scripture that the Lord put on my heart. It's in a 2 Timothy, and it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Well, saints, we're not going to have a sound mind if we keep putting garbage in our heads. We need to put the Word of God in our heads. And so, with that, brother, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord.
Well, something came to me, you know, that once you understand God's plan, it just puts nothing but faith and courage in you. First of all, God's intent is to purify His people. It's not to kill His people. It's to purify them. And it's true that among us there are sons of perdition that are scattered among the seeds of Christ. And an enemy hath done this, he said. And it's true that they will be used too, just like Judas was used. But at the same time, God is here, is done everything, working all things together for our good. And one thing that the Lord showed me that totally encouraged me. Now, I said earlier that the judgments that came upon Egypt are a type of these judgments that are coming, and that's true. But they were to save God's people from Egypt.
Amen.
And when the Lord spoke this revelation to me, I think I've shared this on your program before, but I'm going to share it again because it's just so encouraging. It opens your understanding to see what's coming. And the Lord spoke to me many years ago, and He told me that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to happen again in these end times, except that the cast of characters that were there are going to be multiplied many times over. In other words, history just continues to repeat, but it repeats with larger and larger and larger groups of people.
Amen.
Even Jesus said He was coming as a baby born to a woman in John 16 again. And when you read in Revelation chapter 12, you see that baby being born to the woman in travail, exactly as He said in John 16. Except this time it's a group of people that are born the fruit of Jesus Christ because they put the Word of God in their heart and they're walking in His steps, you know, as the Scripture says. Well, folks, think about what happened in the Gospels. If you want to get encouraged and you want to see what God's going to do and you want to see how God's going to provide for you in the coming wilderness, read the Gospels, because I'm telling you, it's a prophecy. The Lord specifically told me it's a prophecy of the end time. Read the Gospels and see what God did. He sent provision. In several ways, He sent a powerful provision. Number one, He sent the man-child, Jesus,
right,
in the Gospel,
amen,
who represents, who the Bible says is a sign or an omen, which is a sign of something to come. You know, Jesus Himself is a prophecy of what's going to happen in the end time, when he comes in a body of believers to again have a ministry in the earth. You see, the whole purpose that Jesus went away in the first place was to come back in his saints in a corporate body in order to minister to the world. That
right,
was his
amen.
Plan. Of course, religion short-circuited that plan. But it's not over. God's the Lord Jesus is coming as what the Bible calls an epiphany before the parousia, which is the physical coming of the Lord. He's coming in his people. That's the glory of God being manifested in his people. This is his plan, folks. He saved the best wine for last. He saved these days for a tremendous revival. And the provision that God gave to those people in the desert, in the Gospels, or wilderness, same word, was the man-child, because Jesus himself multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He met the people's needs. He healed their bodies. You know, Jesus was putting the doctors out of business in his day, folks. And the bankers, too, because he was, you know, teaching people how to have God's provision.
Amen.
In the wilderness, you know. And the signs, and some of you out there have been waiting and waiting and waiting, and you're wondering why God hadn't answered your prayer. Well, maybe you need your faith corrected. Maybe you need to get around people with faith. You've been waiting for God to heal you or deliver you or give you a provision. Let me tell you, we are on the verge of God answering multitudes of prayers through the coming latter rain ministry. You say, well, David, what, didn't the latter rain come at the end of Jesus' ministry? No, it didn't. It came at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus was the first one to receive the former rain.
Yes,
and when he received it, he ministered in the power of the former rain. And after 3.5 years, he breathed on the disciples and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, the former rain fell upon them. And they went forth to minister in that same power with that same Jesus living in them. The Word of God was in them, you see.
Yes, sir.
Well, the latter rain is going to be just like that. The man-child ministry is going to be the first to receive the latter rain. And I know you heard that in the 1900s God poured out the latter rains, but that's a lie. Hosea 6, 2 and 3, on the morning of the third day is when the latter rain is coming. That's what the Bible is. We just came to the third day, folks. And God is sending. He's coming. That's what Hosea 6, 2 and 3 says. He's coming to us as the rain. As the latter rain. Jesus is coming, you see. This is not talking about him coming in the clouds. Because remember, when he comes to harvest, he's harvesting himself. No one ascends
right,
into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. He's coming first in his people, so that they can be the spotless and blemishless people of God that he wants. He's coming first in his people. And how he's going to start out with the first fruits. An awesome ministry is about to come on the scene. With power of signs and wonders. And not only that, the total unleavened bread of the Word of God is going to come out of the mouth of these people. The Word of God will set you free. You'll
yes,
know the
sir.
Truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, if your truth hadn't been setting you free, it's not the truth. I can tell you that right now. You've been studying leaven. You've been studying men. You've been studying everything but the Word of God. The Word of God will set you free. You know, when I first came to the Lord, I didn't know anything about going to church. I just studied the Bible and studied the Bible and studied the Bible. And I was seeing signs and wonders and miracles, and the power of God was happening. And I noticed something else. I was outgrowing all the religious people around me and even their pastors, because I was just feeding on the Word, feeding on the Word. The Word of God in you is Christ in you. Jesus Christ wants to come and live in you. And there are some people in these days that are out there. You know, I don't know if you noticed in Exodus 23, there was two harvests. There was a first fruits harvest and an
right.
ingathering harvest. And the first fruits harvest, folks, is when the crop comes to maturity first. It's a small harvest, it's true, but it comes before the major harvest that comes at the end of the year, right?
Right.
So God's got a first fruits harvest. They're going to be totally walking in the kingdom. They're not going to be walking in the world. They're going to be walking in the kingdom. And they're going to be ministering the kingdom blessings and the kingdom benefits just like Jesus was 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine Jesus' ministry? I'm telling you what I know and what the Lord has told me. Jesus' ministry is about to be seen in the earth again. Think about it. We're not talking about one man this time. We're talking about a group of people all over this earth manifesting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be moving through them to meet the needs of the people that have been that have not had their needs met up until that time. You understand? Some of you are waiting on God, and you think, well, God's never going to answer. No, you just hold on to your faith, folks. I'm not talking about having to wait till the tribulation. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Endure in your faith to see the answer. Don't be double-minded. God will never fail you. I mean, for 30 years now, God has always met my needs. He's always healed my body. I raised 5 kids. He always healed them. It didn't matter what they needed. He always healed them and delivered them. He's always provided for us. And if he had to do miracles because there wasn't any other way, then that's what we got, miracles.
Amen.
And I'm telling you that that's where we're headed. That's what the Lord told me. I'm sending you through a wilderness so you can tell my people I still supply there. That's where we're going. God wants a people of faith. The wilderness is the place where you get, where you train people of faith, because there's no provision from the world anymore. It has
right.
to come out of heaven, you know, like the manna and like
right.
the water out of the rock. And, you know, it comes in a supernatural form. So, and they had nothing to hope in. They couldn't hope in the Egyptians. There weren't boxcars of provision coming out of Egypt out into that wilderness, you know. And in these days to come, people are counting upon their own provision. But I'm telling you, trust in the Lord. Because this ministry is God's provision. Not only the man-child ministry, but the two-witness ministry is coming after it. The latter rain, all this is God's provision that he's provided for the days to come. God has planned everything. He's provided everything. Don't worry about it. When you get there, he will be there. Many people are making you anxious as though you had to make this provision. Well, in a way, we do. What you can do to prepare for the days to come is to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. Put the Word of God in your heart. You remember the first sign that Jesus did? It's called it a sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. And by the way, it was on the third day, too. What he did was at the marriage feast. You know what the marriage feast is? Let me tell you what the marriage feast is. The marriage feast is the last 7 days before the bride and groom go to the groom's home.
Right.
Now, I know people have totally perverted the Jewish wedding ceremony, the marriage feast, the marriage supper, the ketubah, all these things. They've totally perverted. But let me tell you, the last 7 days at the bride's home, there was a feast. A 7-day feast. It's the 70th week of Daniel. It's the last 7 years.
Right. Amen.
God is going to feast with his people. He is going to feed the bread and the wine to his people. Well, that's where Jesus was in John. And it was a sign. And the servants brought unto Jesus those 6 clay water pots. And he told them to fill those water pots with water. And, of course, 6 and clay, that indicates us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power might be of God and not of ourselves. So they took those 6 clay water pots, or they called them stone, but they were clay water pots.
Right.
And they filled them with water, and Jesus turned them into wine. And you know what wine represents in the Bible. The wine represents the life of Christ, the blood of Jesus. The life of the flesh is in the blood. That wine represents the life of Jesus Christ. And if you fill your clay water pot up with that water as a servant of God, he's going to turn that into the wine of Jesus Christ. And it said, and the third day, that's where we are now, that's when the latter rain is going to be poured out, right?
Right.
There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. Cana means the measure or the circle. It represents the earth, the whole earth, you see. There's about to be a marriage feast for 7 days. In the whole earth to prepare God's people to go to the groom's home. And all you have to do is partake of that unleavened bread for these 7 days. Be very, very careful that you don't listen to anybody else and you don't let anything but unleavened bread into your houses during that time. I'm talking about your spiritual house, right?
Right. Amen.
Because if you do, you will be among those who fall away.
Right.
Because that's what he said in Exodus chapter 12. Not one jot or one tittle is going to pass away from the law until all of that type and shadow is fulfilled in the New Testament, folks. And so fill yourself up with the Word of God. Get prepared. That's what you can do to prepare for what's coming. There's nothing, I'm going to tell you the truth, there's nothing physical you can do to prepare for what's coming. The Bible says righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness.
Yes, amen.
Delivereth from death. Put the Word of God in you. Let Jesus live in you. You can't imagine Jesus getting into any kind of a circumstance or situation where God would not provide his need, right?
Right.
Well, praise be to God. He is our provision. He's our provision from God. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We no longer live. It's Christ who lives in us. Hold fast to the confession of the gospel that you don't live. You died. You were buried with Christ in baptism unto his death, united with him in the likeness of his death. And now you don't live. Christ lives in you. Hold fast that confession of the good news, and God will bring it to pass. You'll be shocked at who Jesus is in you.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
But cooperate with him. The water of the Word, the washing of the water with the Word. Fill your clay water pot up with the Word of God. That's what the water represents.
Yeah, amen.
And when you do that, the Lord will be faithful on the third day, which is where we are now, to turn it into that wine of the nature of Jesus Christ.
Well, praise the Lord, David. You know, and it's so ridiculous if you look at some of these people that are, you know, that are in preparation. And I'm not really downing anybody, but you know, you see them. They're basically trying to take the world with them. You know what I mean? It's almost like trying to take riches into heaven. You know, they store up, you know, delicacies, and they store up, you know, tapes for and generators for TV sets and all kinds of things. But there's not going to be any broadcasts anyway. But you know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the more of the fear that they're having is not so much of one of their own life, but for their lifestyle. You know, we did a little exercise in Messiah's Branch one night, and I gave everybody candles, and I told them, and after I gave them all candles and matches, I turned off the lights, and I said, now you see this darkness all around you. The darkness all around you represents what you have in your mind without the Word of God. And it's darkness. It's what the world has put in you. And then I had one person light a candle, and that light shined. And I said, see, now it starts to push the darkness out. And as everybody lit their candles, you know, more and more, as I was using as a representation of the light of God, it was pushing the darkness out. And so this is the same thing that you're saying. You know, we've got to put his pure word, his unleavened bread, as you said, in our minds to push out all that garbage that we've been taking in since we was a child.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the power of God. The Lord is coming to be manifested in his saints. And that's the word phaneru. It is to shine forth from. Shine forth from. That's how he's coming in his saints, folks. He's going to shine forth from his people. And he said, he that receiveth you receiveth me. Well, you know, he's talking about Christ in you, you know, the hope of glory.
Yeah, amen.
So get prepared because, you know, like Pastor Dan was saying, the things that men are providing, they think that they're going to pack them through the wilderness on their back, but it's not going to happen that way. The 3 days journey into the wilderness, folks, they started running out of all the things that they brought with them. And even the gold that they brought forth out of Egypt became a stumbling block, and they made an idol out of it. And God told Moses to grind it up, throw it on the water, make them drink it. You know, they had to partake of that idol that they'd made with their gold that
right.
The Egyptians had provided them with. Folks, our provision is already out there in the wilderness. It's where we're going. It's all bound up in faith, you know. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for when there's no evidence seen. And the righteous shall live from faith. You have the substance with you. See, the substance is the Word of God in your heart. The confidence in those promises that you speak out of your mouth, that is the very substance of the thing that is going to provide for you in the days to come. And the righteous shall live, literally it says, from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God wants a people of faith. Up until this time, the overwhelming majority of God's people have been harlots.
Right.
Because they've received the seed of the world, which is the word and thinking and principles of the world. And they've been saved by the world. They've gone to the world for every form of salvation. when the promises of God are plain. He's already healed you, already delivered you from sin, already provided you with every need. My God shall supply you every need according to his riches and glory. Now, if you just carry that promise out into the wilderness with you, and you don't pack all that stuff on your back, you just carry that promise out into the wilderness with you, just remember that God cannot lie. Take that promise with you, and God will provide for you. And you'll get to see signs and wonders and miracles. You pack it on your back anyway, folks. You're not going to see miracles because his power is made perfect in weakness.
Yes, amen.
And miracles come when you get to your extremity is God's opportunity. You see, you know, when you get to the end of your works, that's where God is. That's why he told us to keep the sabbatismos. There's one command. That word is only used in one place,
right,
in the Bible, in Hebrews. And it means a continual rest.
Right.
We want to keep the continual rest. And how do we do that? Well, he says in Hebrews 4 and 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. What's he talking about? Well, he says in verse 10, for he that entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us give diligence to enter into that rest. See, we want to cease from our works to save ourselves and provide for ourselves. We want to enter into his works, which the Bible says were finished from the foundation of the world. He said, there remaineth therefore a sabbatismos, which is a continual rest. Look it up. A keeping of rest. A continual rest for the people of God. For he that hath entered into this rest has rested from his works. And how do you rest from your works? He that hath believed doth enter into that rest. You see, when you believe the promise of God, you can give up trying to save yourself. Because you found out that the promise says he's already done it. He's already saved you. He's already delivered you out of the power of darkness. He already healed your body, 1 Peter 2:24. He already delivered you from the curse, Galatians 3 and 13. He supplied your every need, Philippians chapter 4. You see, once you find out that God's already done all this, you can just rest. Since he's done it, you can cease from all of your works to save yourself, enter into that rest, and trust in God. Don't break God's spiritual New Testament Sabbath. Do not break it, because God's provision is there. You rest every time you believe that promise. You mean you cease from your works when you believe those promises. And the Bible says, let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, that any one of you should seem to have come short of it. You know what he's saying? Is all these promises are God's rest.
Yeah,
all
amen.
Of those promises. And don't leave any of them out. Believe them all, because when you put them in your heart, you can just rest. You're not worried about a thing. You're not anxious. You're not going to be fearful. You know, when you're fearful and anxious, you are not in the rest. You are not keeping the sabbatismos. Now, cease from your works. Trust in God. He's already provided everything for you. And he doesn't appreciate our salvation by works, our filthy rags. He doesn't appreciate them at all.
Well, praise the Lord, David. I could sit back here and listen to you for hours, and we've gotten close to the end of the program. We better give your website and stuff first again, but I want to express to everybody, I really wish they would go over to David's site. Not only do we have some of his programs that he's been blessed us with being on our programs, but he has so much stuff over there, good things for you to nourish you. And just like I said, you know, I could have sit here and listen to you for another couple of hours, and but you know, the time is short, so let's give them that information. So I don't want them to miss out on it.
Okay, my website is www.americaslastdays. That's Americas with an S, lastdays.com, and on it you'll find the Pal Talk program that we were talking about. It's an online Bible study that we join together and study the Word, and you'll find lots of streaming audios, lots of end-time prophecy conference stuff, and teachings, books, you know, free books and free MP3s and stuff like that to edify people and prepare them. That's my heart, is to prepare God's people for the times that are coming. That's what God ordained me for, and that's what he's raised me up for, and I'm looking for greater things yet.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I sure appreciate you being on, and I'll have you back again if you'll come back.
I always enjoy the people of God and fellowshipping with you, Pastor Dan. I appreciate your advice, too, about the radio program, too.
I'm going to be talking to that guy about you this
okay.
week. So you'll be hearing from him, and in the meantime, David, just God bless you and just keep you. And being in shalom, and that is the perfect peace of God. So
yes.
Praise the Lord. We'll see you, David.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. God bless. Well, praise the Lord. David is like taking a drink out of fresh water, fresh, cool spring water. And that's how he is. That's what, you know, he admits. You know, he's lived his life in perfect faith. Well, nobody can be perfect, but he's lived his life in faith, and he's a walking testimony. And so, praise the Lord, I do suggest that you go to his website and check out his information, and get on that Pow Talk with him, you know, if you need some edification or something, or just get on and listen. And David is also going to be starting a radio program here in the near future of his own on a weekly basis, and so I'll inform you of that also when that comes about. And I also want to tell you all to make sure you be tuned in to American Voice Radio this Sunday at 6 p.m. Central. You can find it from our website. I'm going to have a very special guest with me, and that is Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. He's the founder, and he's been my friend for years. I met him just about the same time that he started the Prophecy Club, and he will be on the radio with me come Sunday. He agreed to be on the radio. And this is kind of unusual because Stan usually doesn't get on other people's radio programs, so be a good program. Come and join us. So, Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord's face shines upon you, and be gracious to you, and give you peace. Well, until next time, this is Pastor Dan saying shalom, which is the perfect peace of God.
Just heard the Valley of Decision radio broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Pastor Dan on the internet, go to www.messiahsbranch.org. And thanks for listening.
These are the days of Elijah. Declare.